Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I got to get the week kicked off right here, folks. Sorry about that. It's 12 after. Don't get excited. It's only 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you think I'd be able to tell time after all these years, wouldn't you? My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out. One of the reasons why you want to check it out is so you can go back and listen to all the archives of past interviews that we've had with our good friend John Fox, who's our guest this half hour. John's the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, a book that should be in every taxpayer's hands. And I know he's thinking from my mouth to God's ears. He's our good friend, John Fox. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you. Pleasure to be back with you.
It's good to have you back, and
I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, Jim.
Had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you did, too.
I did. Can I just tell you one quick Thanksgiving story?
Yeah.
I teach a course on U.S. tax policy at Mount Holyoke.
Mount Holyoke, yeah.
And the Tuesday before the Thursday of Thanksgiving, I do this. They never know it, but I look at the class very seriously, and I say to them, you know, I'm really worried about something. And their heads turn. They look. Their mouths are slightly open. They're really worried. And I say, I don't think many of you know how to make a great turkey sandwich. And over the next 10 minutes, everybody in the class has to say how they make a turkey sandwich, and it's more fun.
I bet it is. Well, see, I make a great turkey sandwich.
How do you do it?
Well, I use a wheat bread.
Uh-huh.
I put mayonnaise on the bread.
That's very important.
I put pepper on the mayonnaise,
uh-huh.
black pepper on the mayonnaise, and then I put about 4 inches of turkey on top of all that.
You do. Well, how about the dressing? Do you put the dressing on?
No, I don't put dressing. My dressing's on the side with the cranberry sauce.
I see. That's
and you think I'm serious, too. And then I put the other bread on top, and that's my meal.
And then you try to open your mouth and get around.
Exactly. You know, I tell you, I seriously... I love all the, you know, all the Thanksgiving stuff and everything, but I really love a turkey sandwich and a glass of milk afterwards.
I do too. I look forward, and it's funny. It's you can have the turkey meal about 3 o'clock, and around 5:30, you're longing for the turkey sandwich.
I got to have a turkey sandwich. That's exactly right. I'm with you on that one. Hey, John, we've got another turkey in our midst, and that's the tax code.
We sure do.
The current tax code, and folks, John's one of the top tax experts in the world, if not in the universe. And John, here's a little thing I want to read. It's sort of the preamble for what the President's Tax Advisory Panel on Federal Tax Reform issues found. I'm not going to read all of this, but there's just one sentence I want to read to you, and it's the first thing that they said. We have lost sight of the fact that the fundamental purpose of our tax system is to raise revenue to fund government. What are your thoughts on that, John?
Well, that's exactly right. End quote,
by the way, from the tax panel.
I know it. And they're exactly right. This is a tax panel, which is it's nine tax experts and business experts picked by the president.
And I was gone the week that he invited people. I wasn't able to make it.
And what the panel knows and what we all who study tax policy know and the American public knows is that the Congress has used the tax system not just to raise revenues but to engage in all sorts of manipulations of social and economic policy
and political manipulation.
And they run. I mean, if they were prohibited from proposing to change the tax laws in their campaigns, the campaigns would be reduced to a month or so because they wouldn't have a lot more to say.
It's become
a
drug.
Exaggeration. But what we have is about half of all potential income that could be taxed each year exempted by deductions and exclusions and credits and all these things. And what the panel said is, for the most part, they don't work socially. They don't work economically.
Yep.
And what I'd like to talk a little bit about is their proposal to change the most coveted tax break of them all, the home mortgage interest deduction.
Well, now you've quit preaching and started meddling, John.
Well, I didn't meddle. The panel said that they want to change it.
Yeah, you're right.
The panel said that that too many of the policies don't make economic sense or social sense, and they said, and these are 9 moderate and conservative people, they said that the mortgage interest deduction should be changed, and I think they made a lot of sense. And I like
What did they say we should do?
Well, you know, the current deduction is for mortgages up to $1 million. And you can borrow the million to buy or build a principal home, or you can use it on a secondary home, or you can divide it equally or in any way between the two. And the panel said, this really is upside down. And the figures are staggering. For example, Jim, this year the deduction will save certain taxpayers $73 billion. Now, that's a big program.
Mm-hmm.
Only 2.5% of the tax savings go to the bottom half of all taxpayers. 22% go to the top 2%. And the panel said, that doesn't make sense if you're trying to promote home ownership. So they said 3 things. Let's cut the top mortgage, the amount of the mortgage that you can have, to 125% of the median house price in your county. Go county by county. So if your median house price is $400,000.
Holy mackerel, John. I thought this was a simplification thing that they were doing here. That's anything.
What you always end up with is something that is somewhere between trying to make social and economic sense and dealing with the political problem that
this
people
is,
are
but
so
no,
winning.
But nobody would ever know what their deductions would be. I mean, right now we know. I mean, look, I don't have a problem with means testing the mortgage deduction, which is basically what they're talking about, right? I mean, fundamentally, right. This is means testing, right?
Right.
And so I don't have a problem with that. But let's don't make this another CPA retirement law.
Well, you know, Jim, all they'd have to do is pick out, say, $400,000. I mean, for example,
yeah, exactly.
And they could adjust it. For example, they said that if you took the median house prices today, the top 125% of the top median house price, a little over $400,000. So they could pick $400,000.
Pick a number. Come on, guys, let's pick a number here. I mean, you know, get some grit and pick a number. This is
I think that's fine. So if you pick $400,000, and
I like $500 better, but $400, okay. Let's pick a number.
Okay. And so they said let's pick a number, but they did it by a formula. I agree with you. Pick a number. Number two, they said make it a tax credit because the deduction gives the biggest break to the richest people in the highest income brackets.
Yeah.
So make it 15% of whatever the allowable interest is. And number three, this is really important. Don't make it an itemized deduction because only people who itemize currently
right.
get it. And
you're
only
saying,
about 35% of people itemize.
Yeah, yeah,
they said,
I see
give
that.
It to everybody.
Yeah.
Give it to everybody.
So you're saying a young lady, you know, single parent home buyer who doesn't have a lot of other expenses doesn't get to write that off because she's
exactly.
not itemized.
And they said 88% yeah. of all homeowners would then be able to get the deduction instead of
and it'd be a credit instead of a deduction. I think I like this. We just got to do away with the fuzzy math, John. Quick break. Right back with John Fox. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend John Fox, the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. And John, where is this book available, please?
Well, at this point, Westview Press may not have, I'm not sure, it's been out for 4 or 5 years. And so you would contact Westview Press. Go to Westview Press on your internet, and you try to order from them. And if they can't get it, I'll get it for them.
I bet you,
John O. Fox at Comcast.org.
John, I bet if you go to Amazon, I bet the Amazon's got one.
Oh yeah, I bet they do. Probably
yeah,
at Amazon.
Yeah. John Fox, Fox, one X, and the name and the title is "If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax." And folks, I hope you'll pick it up. You'll find some things that will educate you about the tax system. It'll help you contribute to the debate that we're now having. Hopefully, we'll continue to have on this issue of how to reform tax, the tax code, and you might even see some things in there that you disagree with. And so that's kind of the fun of knowing John Fox. So check it out when you get a chance. John, let's get back to the President's Advisory Panel on Federal Income Tax Reform, some of the recommendations. We're still talking about the home mortgage interest issue. What else do we need to know about this provision?
Well, you know, let me just come back to the economic point. The panel said that, you know, it's widely believed by Americans that you need this huge home mortgage interest deduction. But in fact, they said it's excessive and too much money is going into home ownership in terms of our economy. What they said is that while home building may stimulate economic growth, the disproportionate tax savings for home ownership may result in, now listen to this, too little business investment, meaning businesses purchase less new equipment, fewer technologies, and other things, and too little investment, we know means less profits, less wages for workers.
I don't see that, John. I know that the minds of business owners, and I don't see them investing too much in their house and not enough in their business.
Well, the conservative and the liberal economists say that there is too much money because it's making home ownership so great that there's too little money around in savings. That is, it drives up the interest rate for you to borrow for your business. To borrow, it means that there's too little money around that can be borrowed, and there are extensive economic studies for that. So that's the odd thing. Let me just tell you that what they point out is that if you compare our home ownership rate with those of Canada, Australia, and the United Kingdom, it's about the same. And in none of those countries do they give any tax relief for home mortgage interest payments. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, the only thing I do believe, though, that the tax deduction for home ownership in America is a good thing. I don't think we should do away with it. But I don't have a problem with the direction that you and I talked about earlier. Let me ask you a question. What about the second home? What did they recommend for the second home?
They said eliminate that.
No second home. And this may surprise some people. A second home under the current provision actually can include a boat.
Yes, it can. If you
or a motorhome, I think.
If you use the boat personally as a personal residence, as a second residence, it can include a boat. And they simply said that what we ought to be focusing on, as I believe is true, is maximizing the number of homeowners, not maximizing the number of expensive homes. So if you have a mortgage of up to $400,000, $500,000, that means you probably bought a $600,000 home. That's enough.
Now, John, here's the thing. If in this provision, let's say that you and I are in control of this one issue and we get to have it our way and we design it along the lines that we mentioned earlier, what I want to know is that's obviously going to put more money in the federal government's coffers. What I want to know is what are they going to do with that? Are they going to spend that money or are they going to put it toward abolishing the alternative minimum tax?
That's the real important question. That's a really important question, Jim. And they said the alternative minimum tax must go. They want to eliminate the alternative minimum tax,
which is now
reaching down into middle class people, and it was aimed at the high income earners. But that's very costly.
John, it's not just costly; it's evil.
Yeah, it's the evil. I always said that the alternative. In other words, what they did back in the 1980s is say that there were a number of high income people who weren't paying any taxes or paying very little. So they said, let's figure out a second tax return for them to file.
A parallel
tax. Shows the higher return. Well, that was nonsensical. Why prepare a second tax return?
It was
why
a parallel tax universe for those people. But tell them what happened in '86 when those breaks went away. They left AMT, didn't they?
They did, and what happened in 1986 when they tried to broaden the tax base and eliminated a lot of special tax relief. Of course, we had a recession. It happened too quickly. Mm-hmm. But with the alternative minimum tax, to eliminate it altogether, which would make a lot of sense, would cost over $1 trillion in the next 10 years in terms of tax revenue. So they said, among other things, let's find the revenue that we can use to make up for the loss of the AMT, mortgage interest deduction is one of the most expensive ones. So let's curtail that. Let's focus it more on ordinary average taxpayers, get them their basic home, and let's not subsidize two homes. That's enough.
John, we're going to have to wrap it up here in a second. You're going to come back, though, and we're going to have a series, folks. John and I are going to do a series of interviews with him on these tax provisions to get you informed. John, what do you think are the chances that this provision will pass?
Well, the House Republicans, the Republicans on the House Ways and Means Committee said it would be dead on arrival. But this is President Bush's special group of nine people.
Yeah.
Chose them for their expertise and good judgment. I think much depends on what he will do. Will he back this? And maybe they'll come up with some compromise.
Thank you, John, for being here. John Fox, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be, too, on the other side of these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.